Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio.
On Faith Radio.
And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Me. I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for tuning in today. It was really nice to have Dr. Glenn Pickering in studio. We're talking about passive people and seeking approval, people that seek approval. I am so glad I don't struggle with that. You like me, don't you? Okay, just checking. We have a great hour coming up. We've got Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've written a book called Responding, Embracing the Journey, Responding in Love as Christian Parents of LGBTQ Child. Their son, Greg Jr., came out to them in high school, and they've got this beautiful ministry of helping do some connecting with families and reconciliation, and they're lovely people. I'm very much looking forward to getting them on the show. And if you are tuning in the Sioux Falls area at 107.5 FM, big welcome. And my big friends in Fargo at 102.5 FM, just want to say hi to you again. Had so much fun last Friday. Oh, that was a good time. I'm still gushing. So let me take about 60 seconds, and then when we come back, we will get Lynn and Greg McDonald on the show.
Find new inspiration and hope when you read the ESV Gospel Transformation Study Bible, designed to present all of the Bible as a unified message of God's grace and to help you apply this message to your everyday life. You'll find gospel-centered study notes and introductions to each book. Allow your heart to be transformed by the good news on every page of the Gospel Transformation Study Bible. We're giving away one copy each week this month. Enter to win at MyFaithRadio.com. More and more people are downloading the free Faith Radio app. They're listening to the live stream, accessing program podcasts, and staying informed on the latest contests and events. You can download the free Faith Radio app anytime in iTunes or Google Play. Just search for Faith Radio. Download the app and start listening. Take Faith Radio with you wherever you go with the free Faith Radio app.
Welcome back to the show. I'm delighted to be talking today to Greg and Lynn McDonald. They have no experience in the LGBTQ community until they found out that their son was gay. So they decided that they would do two things. They would love God and they would love their son. And they've written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint for Loving Your LGBTQ Child. Welcome to the program, Greg and Lynn. Nice to have you with us.
Happy
thank
to be
you.
Here, Bill.
Nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, like any parents, this news is kind of a shock, isn't it?
It certainly was to us.
And especially with Christian parents.
Yeah, the certain expectations from day one you have your child in your arms is, you know, this child will do everything kind of the way you would hope and expect.
Yeah, for the most part. You know, Bill, when our son Greg Jr. was three, Lynn and I were seeking marriage counseling. Our marriage was on the rocks, and we had just finished up a counseling session, and I had asked the counselor, her name was Kelly. I said, Kelly, I said, hey, one last thing. I said, is it possible our son could be wrestling with like homosexual kind of stuff at a young age? And she said, well, sure. How young is he? I said, well, he's three. And she said, well, that's pretty young. And so in our case, it wasn't like we hadn't suspected it. We suspected it from a very early age. We sought counsel for it a couple different times and were coached by the counselors that, you know, in the end, peer pressure will straighten him out. Don't worry about it. He has loving, heterosexual, God-fearing parents. And So for us, when we actually learned the news when Greg was 17, it didn't come as a complete surprise, but it certainly sucked all the wind right out of our sails.
Mm-hmm. And Lynn, I'm assuming you feel the same way?
Yes. Actually, for me, it was throughout the years. I, again, also suspected that Greg was gay, but I had always hoped that he wasn't. And so even when we did find out, it still felt like, actually, at that particular time, it felt like there was no hope. I mean, what do you do now? And it was just awfully, awfully scary. And, I was just filled with fear.
So when Greg Jr. finally said, "Gee, Mom and Dad, I'm pretty sure I'm gay," how old was he? When did he make that admission?
Yeah, as Greg would tell you, he didn't come out. We found him out.
Okay.
And he was 17 years old.
Okay. And your discovery was done with clarity? I mean, was he in a relationship with another young man, or what? Did you discover something of his in his room, or how did you find out? I'm just curious.
Yeah, good question. So I had found that he was using our family computer to access gay pornography.
Okay. Yeah, that would be certainly one way, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, rules would be we don't want pornography viewed on our family computer, period.
Right. And candidly, so, you know, this is back in 2001-ish,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have a lot of the controls and things that are available today, you know, to keep our kids safe with regards to the internet and so on. So, it was a very different time. And candidly, it was a very different time dealing with anything that dealt with, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender stuff 17, 18 years ago. We found ourselves at the local Barnes & Noble scouring the shelves just looking for anything that would give us some direction. And frankly, came up empty-handed.
Yeah. So I'm guessing your first response to your son, Greg Jr., was, okay, we got work to do to get this thing figured out. Lynn, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Actually, I think when we were sitting down and we were actually outside on the deck and Greg had told us this, sort of going back to the pornography part of it, I had hoped that, and this is really embarrassing to say, but I was hoping that it might have been one of his friends and not him. And so when he told us that it was him and that, you know, we knew that we needed to do something, we just didn't know what. And at that particular time, Dad Greg said that, you know, "Greg, we need to get you fixed. We need to fix this problem." And so that's when we searched out, you know, our church, a couple different pastors that we were friends with, and also a movement called Exodus.
So had you determined at 17 that he was just same-sex attracted, or was he engaging in sexual behavior? So what did you understand at that point?
Yeah, he wasn't engaging in sexual behavior at that point, but he was certainly attracted to it. And so, you know, if anybody's ever made you feel like a project, how's that normally turn out? Right?
Not very good.
Exactly. Well, so, and to be a little more candid, what I had told Greg was, interestingly, so when we confronted him, his immediate response was, "Oh gosh, I knew this day would come. I just always hoped it wouldn't happen until after I was out of school." and college. And to which Lynn and I looked at him and said, why would you say that? And he said, well, because my friends have all told me that if you guys found out ahead of time that, you know, most likely you kicked me out of the house and wouldn't pay for my education. And that's largely because that happens a lot, especially with kids that come from Christian homes where they do get kicked out of the house. And so my response to Greg was, well, hey, listen, Greg, you know, we love you. There's nothing that would stop us from loving you. And certainly we're still going to help you with your college education. But as I said, we need to get you fixed. And the message from me was really clear, which is you're broken. You know, you're messed up. We have to do something to correct this. And that kind of put our relationship with Greg on a trajectory that simply is not good nor healthy and certainly isn't Christ-like.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to add some balance to the conversation, if your son was 17 sleeping with his girlfriend in the house, you might want to kick him out as well.
Potentially.
I don't think that would have been our first response.
Okay.
But certainly have conversation about it, and we'd certainly not want to have that happen in our house. Correct.
Yeah. I know it's just trying to separate the same-sex attraction from the activity and the behavior, because I know that as a Christian, we all understand that people can have attractions that are going to be very challenging for them. In your case, you know, Greg Jr. has got this same-sex attraction, and we know as followers of Christ, you're stepping into a life of sexual disobedience. So that's what we're making all the fuss about at this point, because we're obviously, as believers in Christ, most fearful of that. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, it is different than if I am attracted to another woman and I lust after that woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different than, from my perspective anyways, than somebody who always knew that they were different. They tried to fight it. They did whatever. Because, like, you know, we know a lot of gay men and women that are adamant about being celibate. We know other gay men and women that say, if I had to be celibate, I'd possibly end up taking my life.
Mm-hmm.
We know other gay men and women who say, no, I need to be in relationship. God didn't call me to not be in relationship. I need to be in relationship. And others say, I need to do that, but I want to, it needs to be in the context of marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so from us Christian perspective, we look at that and say, no, wait a second. It's all wrong. I'm just telling you, though, it is very, and in fact, we just read a relationship with our son and his friends, and it wasn't until, Bill, we learned that we had literally given up voice, or we lost the right to have voice in his life, that we had given up influence in our child's life. We had literally ran him off by playing Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we became serious about loving him where he was at, like Jesus had commanded us to, and stop playing Holy Spirit and just love him and his friends, my goodness, relationships grew, kids came to know Christ. Our son has never walked in a deeper relationship with Jesus than he does today. Relationships get healed. It's incredible what happens. And just by loving people that are in this position that are not accustomed to being loved.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm talking to Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Your LGBTQ Child. We'll take a little break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. I have on my guest line Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've lovingly written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Your LGBTQ Child. What a journey you have been on, and the ways in which you have opened your hearts to the community. So when you were learning about Greg Jr., your son, how were you balancing your faith? And I'm sure it was difficult over these years.
Lynn?
It was very, yes, it was very difficult for me, because I thought I had to choose, that I had to choose loving God or loving my child, that I couldn't do both. So for me, it wasn't until a time of prayer and devotion, and a devotional that I was reading, and also reading in scripture, the greatest commandment, is then that's when I recognized that, no, I was free to love God and my child, and even more so, I was commanded to, that the greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I figured, if I'm supposed to love my neighbor, how much more my child, regardless if he was gay or straight, and regardless of disobedience or obedience, I was called to love him. And so that really, you know, took me on a different path. There was so much freedom in that. And so asking and praying to God, well, what does that look like? And some of the things that I felt that we needed to do to understand our son more is to get to know the LGBT community, especially the Christian LGBT community, and hear their stories and to learn more about them. And that is something that really was something that changed my heart. I had compassion that moved me to action. You know, there's the ideal, you know, the husband or, you know, husband, wife, heterosexual. And then there's real. Then you have to deal with the real. How do you deal with the real? And as we have just studied and gotten more educated in it, it is about working out our salvation. And my husband is okay with me sharing this, but you know, before he came to know Christ, he struggled with pornography and smoking and swearing and telling, dirty jokes and all this kind of stuff. And so it was interesting, because after he came to know the Lord, that was one of the first things I thought that God was going to work on, was pornography, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure he's going to work on pornography. But it wasn't. It was his swearing. Mm. And I thought, really? So that's when as we looked back at our life, I thought, if there's something in Greg's life, Greg Jr.'s life, that God wants changed, he's going to make it known to him, because Greg Jr. accepted him as his God as his Savior when he was 8 years old. So I don't know. This whole working out the salvation is a very interesting topic, especially in regards to the LGBT community, because I think they feel they need to work on that one first. Whether, I don't know if God's going to tell them that. Maybe he won't. I don't know. What we have found in our ministry is that we do not say we are affirming or not affirming. And the reason why is we found that those are fighting words. And we desire to have conversation as opposed to picking sides. Because once you pick a side, then you lose the other side. And that is not what we're trying to do. We're trying to, again, bridge that gap so we can have conversation. Yep. And we can, and see and move forward as the Lord speaks to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting, Bill, when we first learned the news, I would say what you just described was perfect in terms of how we viewed things. One of our good friend and our pastor at the time, a guy named Ed Dobson, who recently died of ALS, we had turned to Ed in terms to ask what would a Christ-like response be? Because candidly, I was very concerned as to doing something, saying something I would later regret. And, Ed talked about the need to love Greg. He's our son. He said, I encourage you to love his friends as well. He said, the gay community is very close, and when one's hurting, they kind of rally the troops. And he said, don't spend a lot of time looking in the mirror, i.e. trying to figure out what your role is in this. Nothing good will come from that, which was also true. In any case, so as we started to engage more with Greg and now his gay friends, he had gay friends we never knew of until at this point. I would routinely ask questions of these men and women. And then one of the questions was, so tell me, when did you decide to be gay? And so the interesting thing about that is up front, the first person I asked, I'll never forget his response. He looked at me like a deer in the headlights. He kind of had his head kind of cocked, and he said, seriously? Like, who would choose this lifestyle? Who would choose to be discriminated against? Who would choose to give up their rights? Like, I didn't choose this. And I thought, that's interesting. But then after, a dozen, two dozen, five dozen, et cetera, men and women over the course of years, it became very clear to us that we've never talked with anybody who says, oh, yeah, no, I chose to do this back in September of, 2003 or whatever. And in most cases, so we've got a lot of connections with a lot of men and women, boys and girls, ages about 17 to 52. and they would all tell us that they didn't choose this. Most of them are believers, I'd say serious followers of Christ. And most of them, in fact, every one of them I've ever asked, have said, at some point, they prayed, they pleaded with God to please take it away. So, it's true what you said. It's a little different in that if we're thinking that our child is making a bad choice, that's different than so whether we believe God made him like that or God just allowed him to be like that through the fall, it does change the way we look at it a little bit.
Yeah, I think Billy Graham said so well, it's God's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's job to convict us of sin, and it's my job to love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
early on, we spent a lot of time playing the role of the Holy Spirit, trying to convict Greg and his friends of their sin.
Mm-hmm, I bet. All right, I'm talking to Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Your LGBTQ Child. We're going to take a little break. And then we're going to continue our discussion with the McDonald's in just a minute.
Faith Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I have on my guest line Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've lovingly written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Your LGBTQ Child. So I'm just curious, Greg, how you were processing your son being gay, because I'm sure a mother's response and a father's response would be significantly different, I would guess. And then, how is that affecting your marriage?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'd say there was a lot of finger pointing early on in terms of, Lynn saying, gosh, if you were home more often, if you spent more time playing sports with them, he wouldn't be like this. And, of course, me rifling back that if you weren't such an overprotective, overdotting mom, that this wouldn't be. And But you know, there's something else that occurs when you learn that you have a gay child, is there's not only this thing where we look at ourselves, we look at each other in terms of what is our fault in this, but a little distraction here. Sorry.
No problem.
What was I just saying?
We were talking about the difference between a father processing his gay son and a mother processing
his gay son. Thank you. I just went blank. Sorry. So in addition to that, though, you know, for dads, there is this thing where you look at yourself, and we know this to be true because we coach and counsel literally hundreds of Christian parents on this journey. And we look at ourselves oftentimes as dads and say, well, is it that I wasn't masculine enough, right? So we question our own masculinity. And at some point I found myself having a real pity party, realizing that certainly I had a role in this somehow, and feeling as a failure as a father, along with having a family member call me and remind me, do you have any idea what your child is doing? You know, you better get a handle on them, kind of thing. I found myself one afternoon on a long stretch of highway between Detroit and Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I came within a millisecond of taking my life on the highway by hitting a bridge embankment.
Mm.
I had become super depressed over the ordeal. And so certainly our marriage took a toll through that as well. And we spent many years in counseling as a byproduct. So,
when you talk about counseling, that of course is very interesting to me. So what kind of biblical counseling did you get that was really helpful for you?
Yeah. Another good question. So, you know, we actually saw two different counselors. Both of them were Christ-centered counselors. They did a fabulous job of listening and helping encourage us to spend time looking at Jesus. And we found ourselves spending a lot of time kind of in the red letters, if you will, really just looking at who was Jesus, you know, what did he have to say about himself, who did he hang out with, how did he treat people. And what we found was in doing so, it really helped us to see, I think, to view the whole thing with a lot more grace, and recognizing also that, you know, Lynn was talking about the greatest commandment, that in there's no loopholes, right? I mean, because our tendency, certainly my tendency as a believer, was, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. I understand love. I get it. But then there's people that do something that I have a real problem with, and their sin just seems to be different. And so it's hard for me to extend love to certain people. But it's like the more time we spent just looking at Jesus and really understanding his life, the more we realized that, again, there were no loopholes. He didn't say, you know, love your neighbor unless they're a gossip, unless they're a glutton, unless they're a drunkard, unless they're gay, there's no loopholes, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he did the opposite. He actually said all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commands, love your neighbor and love God. And at the time, you know, the Jews were trying to keep like 613 laws. And I look at it and say, wow, get these two things right, you pass the test, you know, get the other 600 and some right and miss these two, big mistake, you know,
mm-hmm.
failed the test.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say those were just some of the learnings that came away from some of the counseling that we had, along with just, you know, hours and hours of just digging into the Word to see what the Bible really had to say.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
And, you know,
go ahead, Lynn.
I was just going to add something here. You know, there was three things that I saw about Jesus's compassion. One was that, you know, he had a compassion that moved him to action. had a compassion that included everyone. And his compassion grew out of personal experience. And that's what was really sort of powerful for me, is that having an LGBTQ child allowed me the opportunity to get involved more with that community. And by getting more involved in the community, I ended up having compassion for them after hearing their stories. And that is just something that I think that a lot of people don't recognize, is that, you know, when you don't have that relationship with someone who is walking that walk, it's hard to understand them, and it's hard to know even how to help them unless you hear their story and just walk with them.
So how might you encourage other parents, especially if they're maybe in that early discovery stage? Were you physiologically going through some pretty severe cortisol dumping throughout your days when you were getting up and were you feeling physical anxiety about this? And how did that first season go of this discovery?
Another great question, Bill.
Yeah. The first season for me felt like it was a nightmare. I mean, truly, it just did. I just remember waking up one morning and going, was that just a bad dream? No, this is my life. And so, especially knowing how the Christian community felt about this particular community, the LGBTQ community, I just thought my whole life ended. And so I ended up in the fetal position an awful lot, just wishing that it would just go away. I never really got mad at God. I just wanted to understand why. And so I would say that I stayed in that period a little bit too long. And it wasn't until I recognized that this was my new normal that I felt relief, even though it wasn't what I had already desired it to be. But I knew that I could carry on. And I had no idea what God was going to have in store for us. And so after the survival and recognizing there was, you know, that God can use your story to help others bring, get closer to Him, just even one step closer, then we found that purpose was very life-giving.
All right, I'm talking to Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Your LGBTQ Child. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to continue our discussion with the McDonalds in just a minute. Welcome back. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Greg and Lynn McDonald. They've written a book called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Your LGBTQ Child. And right before we went to break, I was thinking about the many different paths you have taken and analyzing what's been going on in the life of Greg Jr., your son, who came out as gay. And so tell me the directions you've gone with this. Greg, would you start?
Yeah, Bill, when we first learned about Greg, so this is actually something that happens to all parents. So at some point, every parent who has an LGBTQ child ends up hitting this fork in the road. And it kind of sounds like this. If you take one highway, let's call it the Eastbound Highway, it says, Johnny, hey, no, we taught you early on that decisions have consequences. And this decision you've made to be gay, it comes with really bad consequences, right? There's disease, there's hate crimes. There's rights you're going to give up. But Johnny, it's not just that. This decision you're making is also screwing up my good reputation. I've worked hard to earn this. You've dashed your mom's and my hopes and dreams and aspirations, right? I wanted to have grandchildren. I wanted to be able to, see you get married, et cetera. And the flip side is, if you take, say, the westbound highway, it sounds more like this. It says, Johnny, you're saying that this isn't a choice. You're saying that you always knew there was something different. So, Johnny, listen, I don't believe that God would make you homosexual because he says homosexuality is an abomination. But I'm going to err on the side and say, okay, maybe he allowed you to be born like this, right? In which case, then it's, Johnny, what was it like growing up in our household? Johnny, what was it like processing all this stuff on your own? Johnny, how can I help? Hug, hug, hug. They're two very different responses. We know them well because we took the eastbound highway until we ran across the spot where the bridge was out. And by that point, you know, we had trashed our relationship with Greg Jr. We trashed our relationship with his friends. We effectively drove them off. And it wasn't until we realized that all of a sudden that we had effectively gave up voice in our son's life. We gave up having influence in his life. And obviously that's not what we wanted to be about. And so once we stopped playing Holy Spirit and we just got really committed to doing what Jesus commanded us to do in the first place, to love him, he actually kept us at arm's length for the first couple years. I was like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I need you to prove that you're really serious about this. And so we were just very consistent in loving Greg and loving his friends. And, you know, the fascinating thing was that when it became clear to them that we were sincere, they all started coming around. In fact, we were like a magnet. We couldn't get rid of them. To watch them grow in their relationship, not only with us, but with God, was just fascinating. You know, look at Greg Jr. today. He has never been closer to Jesus than he is today. Mm. And so, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned the word abomination. For most of us, if we did a little word association, and if I said abomination, most Christians would say, what?
Bad sin.
Yeah, bad sin. We might say things like Sodom and Gomorrah. We might say homosexuality. But the reality is for most of us believers, I'm not sure that we even realize, but, you know, God says there's seven things that he considers abominations. And unfortunately, they apply to most all of us. Mm-hmm. Things like haughty eyes, being proud, lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood. I just think about it. I participated in an abortion as a young boy in high school. I drove a girl to an abortion clinic. Hearts that devise wicked schemes, feet that run into evil. Again, there's things that, you know, God considers abominations that apply to us, but oftentimes we look at our homosexual son or daughter and we say, well, you're an abomination. But the reality is if we're straight about it, we're all an abomination at some point.
So,
and that puts us on level footing.
Right. Right. So I'm getting that you have got, for the listeners, a really lovely Christ-like response to what an LGBTQ child would look like and what their friends might look like. And I know you have pursued helping families become reconciled with each other and get them closer to Jesus. So I'd love to hear more about that.
A Christ-like response?
Yes.
Okay. Well, with a Christ-like response for us, again, going to our pastor at that particular time was so helpful.
Okay.
you know, he said love.
Yeah.
And love their friends. And that was the last thing I wanted to do, was love my child's friends, because I found, I'm embarrassed to say again, I just found it very disgusting, and I didn't want any part of even knowing someone who was living that lifestyle. And it wasn't, you know, for me, it wasn't until I viewed it as more compassion than judgment is when I was able to enter in their world and hear their stories, and again, just changed my heart towards them.
Mm-hmm. And how has having a gay son changed or helped enhance your walk with the Lord?
Wow. You know, for me, one of the things that God did through this whole process, we started off on our journey praying consistently, I mean daily throughout the day, God, please change Greg. Please change Greg. Please show Greg his sin. And through the process, one of the things that God did with me personally was he showed me my sin. He showed me my pride. He showed me my arrogance. I met Jesus when I was 27 years old, and I was that young Christian who, man, I had an answer for everything. I mean, I really believed that, you know, I had read the Bible through repeatedly, and I felt like I knew God. I felt like I kind of understood his character, and I had answers. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a position where I didn't have answers. I couldn't explain why things were the way that they were. And so one of the things God did for me was he helped me to see just how judgmental I was. You know, Lynn talks about being disgusted. It's an interesting thing. If we find somebody or something disgusting, it's easy not to love them. And yet, I'm pretty convinced that I'm not sure Jesus found anybody disgusting.
Yeah, and as I'm holding your book and looking at the foreword, I would venture to say that the foreword is one of the most profound forewords I've read, because it's basically Greg Jr. sharing his gratitude to you, thanking you for your honesty and your boldness to speak out against the things that you refuse to accept, and for your bravery and for not letting my abrasive words discourage you, and thank you for being patient with me, and thank you for loving me and my sister equally. Thank you for not trying to change me. Thank you for not sending me to gay conversion therapy. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And it's almost hard to read this without getting tears in your eyes.
Yeah, we get a lot of letters about that.
I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. It did bring tears to my eyes. And even as Greg continues, you know, on his life, and, you know, now he's 35 years old, so obviously a lot is behind him in this, and that's very good. But, you know, we still are finding out certain things and about what he experienced as someone in middle school who was bullied, to high school who was bullied, in a Christian school. And it just breaks my heart, because we were not a part of that. We were not safe for him to talk with. And so he had to find some other avenue of finding safe people to talk to. And one actually was his young life leader. In fact, young life leader said to him, you know, hey, let's get together. We'll go to breakfast or lunch whenever you're having a difficult time. And Greg Jr. took him up on it. And Greg Jr. later said that if it wasn't for him, he doesn't think he would be here today. And as a mom, that breaks my heart to think that he had to deal with that without the support of his mom and dad. And that doesn't mean that I got it all figured out theologically. But it just means that I wanted to be there for him. And for whatever reason, which I think the reason is we weren't being safe, is why he chose not to.
Well, and the whole idea about being safe, we actually spend a lot of time with parents, helping them identify safe people. And that's something that we didn't do early on. And for most parents, when they learn the news that their child is LGBTQ, it keeps going nowadays, when they learn that news, it oftentimes feels like somebody just took a dump truck, backed it up, and unloaded it in your lap. For your child, they've been processing this for years. This is not it's not news to them. It certainly catches a lot of parents flat-footed. But rest assured, it didn't catch God by surprise. And so when forced to process all that information at once, oftentimes parents are very, very unsafe for the child to share anything with. And but our whole reason for being, our ministry is you know, we're about building bridges between LGBTQ individuals, their families, and the church, even when they seem at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah. it's such a big topic and such a big subject. I thought to myself, how do we cover this in the time we have planned? So if you wanted to encourage listeners to jump to a resource, I can certainly point them to your book, Embracing the Journey. Is there also a website they could go and look for information?
There is, Bill. So our website is just like the book. It's www.embracingthejourney.org. And on our website, there's a host of resources that are anything from articles to videos, suggested reading of books, devotionals from a wide variety of people. And we're pretty intentional. We're actually very intentional about doing that because, you know, so when God created each one of us, unique as we are, there's not one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got lots of material that come from different, that look at the same situation through different lenses, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And when we created that website, along with when we wrote the book, we did it to be what we wish we would have had available to us when we had learned about Greg Jr.
Yeah, it's often the case, isn't it? So
it is.
What comes out of your experience is now something that can be readily passed on to people who are just stepping into it.
Yeah.
A new experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just so appreciate you taking the time to talk about your journey. Greg and Lynn McDonald have been my guests, and their book is called Embracing the Journey, A Christian Parent's Blueprint to Loving Their LGBTQ Child. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll take a short break and we'll take a short break and be right back.
Did you miss one of your favorite shows this week? Wish you could listen to that sermon again and again? Jump in the car partway through an interview that you wish you'd heard all of? Is there a show or an interview you heard that you would like to pass along to a friend? Download or share our free show podcasts at myfaithradio.com and listen anywhere, anytime. That's myfaithradio.com.
Thank you to Dr. Glenn Pickering. Again, his website is glennpickering.com. And also to Greg and Lynn McDonald for being so vulnerable and transparent. A very difficult topic, but they handled it beautifully. I hope you enjoyed the show today. If you missed any, you can head to myfaithradio.com. Check it out. Have a great night, everyone. God bless. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.